everybody.
Hello.
Anyways, I'd like to start by thanking Bruce for putting me in the lineup of being able to have the opportunity to bring tonight's message. Amen. And I also want to thank all our visitors that made it out here. You know, I had an opportunity to send out some texts last night, and I was hoping that I'd be able to have some of my friends that I care about come out to be able to hear a message that I've kind of prepared tonight. It's kind of designed for all of us in a way, but the first part of it's a little basic, and it's really designed to help introduce you to the Church of Christ, the Lord's Church, and the body. There's Churches of Christ all throughout the whole world. The one that meets here at South Valley, I'm blessed to be a part of. Amen. All the men here, you know, that I get to work with, you know, that share teaching and the pulpit up here, all of them are so very talented, and I'm just appreciative that I'm just a part of that group, even though I feel like I'm at the very bottom. I wish I had Daryl's voice, man. He's such a good singer, and Anyhow, before we get started, I just want to go make a short prayer, and then we'll begin the lesson. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Father and our Creator, we come to you in prayer at this time with humility and give you honor and praise as we are here to honor and worship you and your Son this hour. And we're so thankful that we've had this opportunity to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the health that we have. Yes. Thank you for this blessing of having the fellowship to share together and have this hour of learning more of your will. Be with me, Father, as I'm about to speak things that I've prepared. Help me to remember them and speak them in a way that will be understandable to everyone that's hearing. And help those who are hearing be attentive so they can learn something and just take a small portion and understanding of what your purpose for us in this life is. We're so thankful that each one of us have this opportunity to honor and praise your Son. This is our prayer in his precious name. Amen. Okay, so is it ready to go?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I created a PowerPoint. This is the first time I've ever done this. But I did it in a way to kind of keep me on topic. And, you know, if I was to just be going over Bible passages, you're going to be hearing them from me if I read through them. If I was going to wait for everybody to turn and read it themselves, having a PowerPoint, you could read it up here along with everyone. To me, it's better to have you read it than hearing it from me, because you'd be hearing my faith, and this is all becoming from the Word of God. The primary part of the Church of Christ is that we follow and we believe that the Word of God is inspired and is truth from our Creator. Amen. Okay, in everything that you've experienced today in this worship, it's. Might be different than what you might have seen in other churches. I mean, there's an estimate of 40,000 different divisions of Christianity that are out in the world today. Churches of Christ try and follow the exact example that you could read about the New Testament church in the Bible. And that's what our desire here is, to share that with you. Because when we start going beyond what is written, then we're taking a gamble. I mean, it's something that, you know, that so many people ignore. And a lot of it is because they ignore the Word. They don't study like they should. And I'm talking to this guy up here, too. Over many years, you know, sometimes we get a little bit lazy, and it's important that we really look into the God's Word and understand what it's all about for our lives. I want to start the lesson and just with some basic Bible passages. Let's see. This is on? Okay, now it lit up. It's green.
It's good to go.
All right. First passage I want to look at is Hebrews 1:3. Now, the writer is writing to a group of Christians in the first century that basically were converted from Judaism. Okay, and so they were familiar with the Old Testament and a lot of the old passages from the prophets. And the writer is telling them, these are now they're Christians. He says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he has made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, he has made himself, he had by himself purged our sins and sat at the right hand of majesty on high. And he's referring to Jesus Christ, his Son, who after coming into this world, he had came here for a purpose. His purpose was to bring and deliver us the gospel, Amen. Which is the news of that there's eternal life. We're not only here for the life that we have and trying to figure out as we go by, you know, each day of our lives. The life that we have is eternal. When God created us, he created in his image, and that image is not a head and two arms and a body and two legs. I believe his image was an eternal spirit. And we're going to live for eternity whether we like it or not. When our body and our spirit separate, we're going to go to whatever destination that might be. And it all depends on how we live in this life while we're here on the earth. Is this thing? There we go. Next passage. Oops. I think I skipped over a couple. Okay, next passage is 2 Timothy 3:16. This was written by the Apostle Paul to a young evangelist. And a point I want to make here is that the scriptures that we're reading from are inspired by God, by our Creator. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen. So God has given us his word through inspiration to the men who wrote it. The Apostle Paul was one of those men who received the Holy Spirit to be able to write down what he wrote. And so the inspiration is a lot of preachers or pastors or whatever they call themselves out there, they might start a lesson or preaching in within their sermon. They're going to say, God told me last night or told me in a dream. God doesn't talk to us that way. He speaks to us through his word. Amen. Okay? And I don't. If anybody's out there saying that kind of a teaching that they heard any other way other than the word of God, they're either deceiving themselves or they're lying. And it's just, you know, there's no other way. Or they're deceived for some reason. Because I know there's a lot of people that think that way. Mm-hmm. Like I said, there's so many different divisions of Christianity. And I think that's, Satan has a key hold in that. He can take credit for that because people don't put their trust in 100% in God's word, and they just go by emotion and feeling, and they try to create something that is influenced by other men. Mm-hmm. Okay, and when Apostle Paul and the next passage is Peter, both of these men were apostles. They saw Jesus after he raised from the dead. They received the Holy Spirit. You can read about it in the book of Acts, and these men stress that they received the Holy Spirit, that the scripture and inspiration of the written word is from inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it's not like the Holy Spirit talked to them in their ear. Basically, he inspired them to write what they wrote. He kind of influenced them. They were holy men. They were doing their best to do the will of God, and they had the gift that Jesus promised them when he was with them, you know, while Jesus was alive, before he was crucified. John put it this way. There was, in John 14, Jesus was speaking. That's why I put the letters in red. But there was a young man named Judas. It wasn't the Judas that betrayed him. Jesus was talking about how he would manifest himself to them, and he didn't really quite understand what he was saying. And Judas asked him, what is it you're talking about? How is it that you're going to manifest yourself to us? And Jesus answered, he says, if anyone loves me, He will keep my word. And his Father, and he will keep my word. And my Father will love him and make our home with him. He who does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So this is where it originated from. Jesus came from heaven, okay, because the next passage we're going to read about him, he's a very special person, not only just what we might think of. He's the Son of God. He's more than that. But this is where it originated. It was a promise that he made to his disciples 2,000 years ago. And a lot of people think they're going to get the Holy Spirit and some kind of miraculous gifts they're going to be able to do like they did 2,000 years ago. People read the Bible out of context like it's written to them. But if you read it in context and understand that Jesus is speaking to his disciples, you know that the promise was to the apostles. Amen. And there are several Bible passages in that I want to refer to tonight. They begin, there's two that I know of, to start with, in the beginning. Okay? There was one of the Old Testament, and I'm sure those words are probably not the same language, but there's one in the Old Testament, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Mm-hmm. Okay, that was the very first passage of the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There's another Bible passage in the first, the New Testament. This is probably written in Greek rather than Hebrew. So the translation ends up being the same. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things that were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then down in verse 14, it goes on to say, and I just skipped down because there's some passages in there that starts talking about John the Baptist and how John the Baptist was to be the introductory prophet to Jesus coming into the world when Jesus began his ministry. Now, the Word became flesh. This is in verse 14. It's talking about the Word being with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John, in the first epistle toward the end of the New Testament, John writes another letter to the churches. He says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the Word of life, the life was manifested." That's that word manifested again, where Jesus manifested to them. "And we have seen, and we bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and we heard, we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write, that your joy may be made full." So the apostles back then, as part of God's plan, that through the Holy Spirit and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, his will would be written down so that 2,000 years later, people can still have that same opportunity to know God and to know his will as did the disciples of the first century. Amen. And so we're all blessed to have that opportunity and to know God and worship him because he's our creator. Amen. At this point, I just want to affirm real quickly that the God of the Bible, he's the creator of heaven and earth. Okay, we've read that, and I believe it, and I'm sure all the members here believe it, and there may be some folks that are watching on the live stream may believe it, and some may not, because a lot of folks believing it only doesn't really mean a whole lot unless you believe it enough to make change in your life in some way. Amen. But the God of the Bible is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and the Bible tells us that. The God of the Bible inspired the writers. We just read a few passages. I could read many more that will prove and give some evidence of the inspiration of the Bible. But we'd be here for a long period of time. I'm trying to get us out of here by 6:30. Anyways, the God of the Bible inspired the writers to write what they wrote. And so that, and they wrote what they wrote. So today, 2,000 years later, we have the same knowledge that they did in the first century. Amen. And hopefully, if the world still exists another 1,000 or 10,000 years, only God knows, hopefully those people will still have God's word. And I think, if they're still here, I think God didn't allow the word to be around this long that he's going to let it die out.
Amen.
Third point I want to make is that Jesus was in the beginning. He was with God, and he was God. You say he was God, okay, because he was a spirit being. He came into this world to bring a message of eternal life. He was really on a bigger mission than that, to be the savior of the world by going to the cross. He knew the Old Testament better than anybody because he was the Word. And the Old Testament prophesies about him, about his hands being pierced in his side and going through all the punishment that he went for our sin. Mm-hmm. Now, the remainder of the lesson, I don't want to burn everybody's brain out with too many passages because we want you to be able to remember what we've talked about up to this point. I didn't know how many people might be here tonight, and I wanted to put together something that we might have the opportunity to see God in a little bit bigger way. Because all of us, I know everyone here that is a Christian, believes in the awesome might and power and majesty that he has. Amen. And I want to go through some images that I've gotten off the NASA website. Okay, this is a picture of the Milky Way galaxy. In Genesis 1:1, when God created the heavens and the earth, in verse 3, he said, "Let there be light," because the light was needed. It was dark. His spirit was hovering over the waters, and it was dark. And when he did, the heavens just lit up with stars I was hoping, I have some notes down here. I just want to kind of read a passage. But the stars just lit up the sky, and I just want tonight to try and right-size God and just kind of realize how big, how awesome he is. The Milky Way galaxy is the galaxy that our solar system exists. You can't even see it up here. It's so tiny. It's like a speck of dust in comparison to all the stars that are out there. I know when we go out on a really dark night, I think on a night that I've seen the most stars, I think I was up in Big Bear, because I don't know whether it was just being out in the pure pitch darkness, but I've seen a lot of stars out when I was visiting Hawaii, and I've heard of the stars that are up in Alaska, but you don't really see them too much in California or Las Vegas. But there are billions of stars in just the known universe. The Milky Way galaxy has over between 200 and 400 billion stars. And the next passage. I got to get used to this PowerPoint. I'm sorry. There's a passage written by Prophet Isaiah. Okay, Isaiah wrote truth. He is one of the prophets that wrote scripture from 750 years before Jesus even came onto the scene, and he wrote about Jesus' suffering on the cross. And there's many other prophecies that he talked about that were proven. And this one here, Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 40, verse 26, he says, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. The one who leads forth their hosts by number, he calls them all by name. Because of his greatness and the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing." And so God is in control of all of creation. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't guarantee that everyone is going to believe that, but every Christian I know in this building does. And we're going to kind of come up with an idea, reason why. But the point of I'm trying to make is that the universe and God is a lot bigger than we can imagine. Amen. Brother Tracy, toward the end of last year, did a little bit similar of a lesson, which was in referencing some passages in Job, where Job was asking if Job, God asked Job if he can hold all the oceans or the sand of the earth in his palm of his hand. It's not that God can literally do that, or it's possible, but God is spirit, but it was just to let Job and let those readers of the book of Job realize how big God is, how awesome he is. This is what the Milky Way galaxy looks like. It's kind of a spiral formation. Scientists, we're looking at that other image just a moment ago with all those stars out there. If there, like I said, there's about 250 billion stars. Scientists can't get out beyond our solar system to be able to see what it might look like as being in a spiral formation. But I guess astronomers kind of came up with the conclusion that it is a form of a spiral formation with a kind of a barred nucleus in the center, which is not the center where our universe is. So the Earth and our universe is somewhere out one of these outer bars in a clear section. But it's billions and billions of stars out there that are all recognized and known by God. The size of the universe, galaxy of the Milky Way galaxy is enormous. It's too big that we can even imagine. Scientists, kind of astronomers, predict that it's 100,000 light years from one side to the other. And just to imagine that distance, a light year is the measurement they use in outer space, okay, and to measure distances between stars and planets. Well, planets, I don't even know if they need to go to a light year. But the light year is the distance that they use in astronomy. And just to give you an idea what a light year is, the speed of light is the light beam going around the circumference of the Earth 7.5 times within a second. So figure 7.5 times within a second. To get from one side of the Milky Way galaxy to the other, you got to go that fast for 100,000 years. You know, doing 7.5 times, you know, the speed of light for 100,000 years. It's incredibly big. We can't imagine how big it is, and God is the creator of all that. Mm-hmm. Of all the stars that are out there in the Milky Way galaxy, this is not the biggest or the baddest one out there. It's the sun. We're all familiar with it. It burns us up here in Vegas in the summertime, and it's ferocious. And when God said, "Let there be light," light came out of the mouth of God, you know, at the speed of light. I'm sure that didn't happen that way. It just sounded kind of cool. But the sun was created when God, our sun was created when God created light here in our solar system. It all happened at once. All the stars, I believe, happened together at the same time. But the sun is ferocious. It's incredibly big. It's incredibly powerful. And it's like, I read somewhere that it's like 150 megatons of nuclear bombs going off every second. You know, and it's incredibly powerful that it's drawing energy from such great power that God had made. The Earth is tiny in comparison. You can see that the Earth is like a pea in comparison to the size of the sun. I read somewhere also that you can hold 1.3 million Earths in the size of the sun. It's incredibly big. And we're very lucky that we're 93 million miles away, because any closer, there's a good chance we're going to be burned up a lot hotter here in Vegas in the summertime. This is the Earth. Okay, God created the Earth. This is an image, and all these images that I'm taking, and a few more that we're going to look at, are taken from the Hubble Space Telescope that's orbiting around the Earth. It's about 340 miles out. But this one was taken from the Apollo 17. One of the astronauts took it. And I don't know if you can see, and if you know your geography, it's kind of, you can see Africa there. You can see at the top the Sahara Desert, and at the bottom where that wisp of clouds is kind of going over, that's the Cape of Good Hope. And you can see the Red Sea on the right-hand separation at the top, where the northern part of Africa, above that is the Mediterranean Sea. But when we look at the Earth, okay, we don't see any cities, we don't see any countries, we don't see all the pain or the sickness, the death and everything that goes on down here. We see it's beautiful when we see it, but we don't see the actual reality. And if you think about it, the amount of time that the Earth existed when God created it, how many billions of souls lived their lives out on this planet and went through life and, suffered or had a good life. There's people that lived like kings, I'm sure, over the years. But they dealt with everything, and they didn't really get to know God as we have the opportunity to do so from His Word. Amen. But anyways, it's a beautiful creation. We're blessed to be a part of it. And, just to understand that God is out there, He's created everything. It's such an enormous creation, and how teeny tiny specks of dust that we are, and that He loves us enough to communicate with us and to give us his will and an understanding of how He wants us to live and behave as being a part of His creation. This is the image of the Hubble Space Telescope. It's an incredible a machine that works. It's going to take some really interesting images we're going to look at here in a minute. But it looks really big out there, but it's about the size of a large school bus. But it has the power to take some really incredible images. This right here, I threw in here, it's called the Pleiades, okay? This is, I think, within our Milky Way galaxy, because it's only 440 light years. The Milky Way galaxy, like I said, is 100,000 light years in diameter and probably in depth as well. But the Pleiades is mentioned several times in the Bible, in the book of Job and the book of Amos. But it's beautiful. It's a group of stars that you can actually see it to the west. I think it's a little bit below if you can use a telescope and find Venus. I think in May it's kind of best time, but you can actually see the Pleiades with a really good telescope. This out here is called the Vela Pulsar. This is like a star that's kind of imploded on itself. It looks kind of cool, but I think it's probably pretty hot. But it looks like kind of a double bow and arrow. It's out there. Astronomers picked it up, and captured this image. But it's something that is part of the creation of the universe. This is called the Hourglass Nebula. It's 8,000 light years out. The Hourglass Nebula is a dying star. It's actually the one in the middle of what looks like an eyeball that's dying out. I think the other one is beyond it, but all of these rings around it are kind of gases that are emitted from the intense intensity of this star dying, but it kind of looks like an eyeball. And I don't know if you guys experience this. I know when I was a kid, moms like to use this when you're a kid. When she says, you better be good. You know, God's watching. Well, God does see everything, and he knows everything. But if he wanted to use this as to watch us, you know, he could use the Hourglass Nebula. This is another thing you can use. It's called the Helix Nebula. These are out there. The images are out there taken in outer space that is captured by the Hubble Space Telescope. And then this is called the Stardust Ring. These are out there. They're light years out there. You can go on the NASA website and see them and learn about them. I'm not an astronomer. It interests me. I just really, you know, I thought about doing this a long time ago, and I, you know, finally made the time to capture all these images and put it on a PowerPoint. This is 28 million light years out. This is beyond our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy. It's called the Sombrero Galaxy. It's a very common, popular one, and a lot of people know if you had science class or, but it's out there. It's about 50,000 light years wide and several trillion miles deep, and it's millions and billions of stars. And it's out there just glorifying God. You know, I mean, there's, you know, when we're looking at how big the universe is, when we're talking about light years, 28 million light years out, you'd have to go the speed of light for 28 million years. You know, no human can ever do that. It's not ever going to happen, but it's huge. And when we think about the size of the universe, I know I talk to people and they think, oh, maybe there's some other terrestrial life out there. And I never go that far. I don't think that, you know, but when we think about how big it is, if God created it just so big, just to give us the idea of his glory and his majesty, you know, all we could say is it's probably just about the right size because he is an awesome God. Mm-hmm. But here we are, 28 million light years out from Earth, and we're going to go out a little bit further to 31 million light years. This is the Whirlpool Galaxy. This one's very popular. You know, and this is, I think I remember seeing it. I have a streaming TV, and there's a NASA channel I have on my TV. One time I was flipping through, and it had this, it looked tiny on my screen, but it was a little flicker of this galaxy out there. It's a Whirlpool Galaxy. NASA was projecting that on live stream on their website, which is kind of a trip. But the Whirlpool Galaxy is 31 million light years out. You know, it's really far out there if you think about it. That other one to the right of it is another galaxy. It looks like it's getting sucked in, but it's not. It's billions of light years beyond, and it's going to pass by and not get sucked, not crash into the Whirlpool Galaxy. We've really, like I said, I'm trying to get everyone to realize how big our Creator is and how tiny we are. We've gone 31 million light years out. Now we're going to go really far out. This is far, 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 far out as far as we can go. And it is so far out there, NASA hasn't figured this one out yet. But I'm just going to show you. He created all this stuff, what we saw tonight. Okay. He was with God in the beginning. He was with God. He came here into this world because he loves us that much. That tiny little speck of dirt or dust that we're here. James, in James 4, I think he says that we're just a vapor. We're only here for a short time and we're gone. And but God loves us that much that, you know, during the communion worship, Brother Bruce mentioned that God had commanded the Jewish people throughout many years, for hundreds and hundreds of years, they had to sacrifice animals every Passover for kind of just to push sins in advance, because God knew no sacrifice on earth. At that time, they had to sacrifice the blood of bulls and goats. That was just to pass their sins forward another year. God had to come into this earth himself and do it himself. There was no other human being that would ever live perfectly. So God came into the scene himself in the body of his son Jesus. And he delivered his will, his message in these last days, which he's delivered through through the word. So my point I want to try and make is little specks of creation that we are, God loves us enough to suffer like he did. Not only being nailed on the cross, but he went through a lot of shame and pressure, ridicule and just disrespect of him being persecuted and crucified before, his suffering. You can see all this was taken from the Passion, which was Mel Gibson did a really bloody, example of the crucifixion, but it's one that needs to really stick in our mind because Jesus did go through a lot of suffering. Paul wrote to the Philippian church, he said, "Let this mind be in you, which you also is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." Amen. That's a really powerful passage. Mm-hmm. And everyone's familiar with John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That was the message that Jesus came to bring. When we die and our spirit and our body separate and we go into eternity, because we're all part of God's creation, this universe, the earth's spinning around on its axis every 24 hours, goes around the sun every 365 days in a year. It's like a big clock. Each day ticks down. Each day we're closer to death. And when we separate and we go into the next life, we're going to be where there is no time. It's eternal. And where we spend that eternity is going to be based on decisions we make while we're here in this life. It's not enough to just believe that Jesus is God. Okay? God, when part of the gospel that Jesus came to teach is a plan that he has put forth through the inspiration of the disciples that they wrote down for us. These are the things that are simple. A lot of churches get it wrong, unfortunately, but the churches of Christ follow this gospel plan because that's what the New Testament church followed. And it's important, that each and every person present here follows these. These are passages. We're just about out of time. I'm not going to read through them, but I want to pretty much to all the people that are on live stream or watching the video or people visiting tonight, I wanted to introduce you to the Church of Christ and let you know that we're not here to chase after you or try and put pressure on anyone. We're here to help you understand and weed through an understanding of God's Word, because it's not that easy. It's a lot of books. It's 66 different sections of Scripture and literature that are written by 40 different writers, but it's all comes together as a perfect message. And the men and some of the, most of the women of this congregation are well-versed in the Bible, more so than I. But we just want to, on behalf of the church, to all of you that might be even out on live stream, we want you to know that we are here to help you in any way that we can to understand and see the truth of the Bible, because it's important to understand what is written accurately, because there's so much false doctrine out there in the world. Mm-hmm. But like I said, just believing alone is not enough. We need to hear, which is kind of what we're doing tonight, but reading through the Bible on a regular basis, you're going to be hearing God's word. That's how he speaks to us. When we develop a communication with God and a relationship with God, as we become more knowledgeable of him or become a Christian, we communicate together with him through, he speaks to us through the Bible and his word. We speak to him through prayer, and he answers the prayer if it's according to his will. If it's his will and it's part of his life, he'll guide us and direct us through our life through providential means. He gives us blessings, and so it's important that you know that we're here to help anyone. And I wanted to introduce you to the church. Like I said, there's churches out there that have statues and decorations and stages and smooth-talking guys and nice suits, but we here, we don't have that. We don't have a stage, we don't have a band, rock band. And all of the examples of the worship you've seen tonight are for a reason, because they're authorized and they're given to us by the written word. Amen. We're not adding any ideas that might sound good. Oh, it'll sound good to sing songs with a guitar and a drum and a keyboards and having, somebody sing for us. The commands are that we sing as a church and worship God together. And we educate each other through prayer and through singing and through lessons kind of like this. But anyways, we're out of time. I want to thank everybody for being here and let you know that our doors are open always during our worship hours. But you're welcome to come back anytime and worship with the church here. I highly recommend it. Since I've been a member here, I felt very welcome, and I'm really happy to be a part of the congregation. Amen. Bruce, our regular minister, he's much better speaker, more accurate, more, in every way, a better communicator of the truth of God's word. And so are the other men that are here that are capable of and teach our Bible classes. But, he's here to be of help, I'm sure, and we'll dedicate any time that you might need if you like. He's also a few years younger than me, and he's even funnier than me. So, but one thing I got is better hair. He knew that was coming, so I had to throw that one out there. Anyhow, that's pretty much tonight, the lesson, and we can all leave. But before we do, we're going to close out with another word of prayer and another song. The song is a song of invitation. If anybody would care to put Christ on in baptism, because the plan of salvation is to hear, believe, okay, believing. Repentance is changing your life. Confession, that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, being baptized, and then remaining faithful. If there's anyone that wants to put Christ on in baptism, or just make it known that you'd like to learn more, please let me know before you leave. I have a Zoom account. We can get together even online and make it easier, and I can share my Zoom credentials with anybody that wants to use it. We can do Bible study on the internet from the convenience of your home. So if anybody has any requests for prayers or have any need of anything, please come forward while we now stand and sing.